Welcome again to Life with Brittany, a Procure Your podcast. I am super excited today. I have my dear sister friend with me. She is a jack of all trades, folks, okay? She is a flight nurse with the Air Force, a philanthropist, founder of Hashtag Free Foundation, and just all around beautiful soul. We're going to get to know her a little bit better today. Coming all the way from Los Angeles, California, welcome my dear friend, Toya Williams. Woo!
Thanks, B. It's so good to be here on this Procure Your podcast.
Yes. Glad to have you. Thank you for making time for me this morning. Yes. So we're going to go ahead and dive right in to a couple of things. I have three different segments to walk through with you. We'll tackle your career, then we'll talk about your nonprofit, and then just leave with the little things, because I think the little things make a big deal, right? So we'll start with talking about your career. So what got you into healthcare, being a nurse, and even in the military? You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so my answer for the military part is very simple: student loan repayment.
Hey.
After Winthrop, after the Citadel, and then going into nursing school, I was like, wow, somebody else got to pay for these. So that's why I got into the military. Short answer, student loan repayment. And then, of course, everything else that comes with it that I later found out. But for nursing, nursing wasn't on my radar until I got to MUSC to do my internship. I started in exercise physiology. That's what I got my degree in. I started at Winthrop in biology, and freaking botany took me out.
Child.
Learned about plants, and I still can't. My succulent is dying. So I knew botany was not my food. So that made me switch my major to exercise science. And then on, I did an internship at MUSC in exercise physiology. And I was training one of the professors at MUSC from the College of Nursing. And she was like, I think you'd be a good nurse. And at the time, I was working as a tech in the CTICU, a CNA. So, or nurse tech. And so I was like, you know, I do kind of like what they do when I'm there and I want to know more. So that's when I applied and got in. And I remember I was sitting, cleaning up something, finishing something, closing up a patient's room at the very last room on the left side of the unit. And I got an email saying, congratulations, you know, you have a $10,000 scholarship to nursing school from the Robert Wood Johnson. I'm like, is this a fraud? you know,
this can't be real.
Yeah, surely people just don't drop. And I didn't even apply for this. So I had no clue where it came from.
But, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was confirmation, like, you're on the right path. You're doing okay, on the right path. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got into nursing school. And then from then on, it was Duke, and then it was travel nursing here in Cali.
That's awesome. That's great. You never found out where that came from?
No, I think, so the Robert Wood Johnson New Careers in Nursing Scholarship, it's a whole foundation.
Okay.
And I think they're based on trying to get diversity and different colors and backgrounds into nursing. Mm-hmm. And I believe it may have been something on my application, or me being Black and I bring more color, may have been something that the people that saw my application then applied me. It was favorite. I don't even have my
favorite. Okay. Hey, a combination of those things.
Wow.
That's so that crazy. Was really cool. Yeah. So you mentioned, you know, being accepted maybe because you're Black or different things like that. So being a Black woman, beautiful Black woman in healthcare, what are some of the challenges of being Black in healthcare as a nurse, and what are some advantages?
Challenges, not being heard. Mm-hmm. Or when you walk into patients' rooms sometimes, or when you walk into like rounds, it's feeling absent. Mm. It's from both ends, from the bedside and from your peers, and feeling like what you bring isn't valued, or that what you say isn't an asset to what's happening. And it's the same things with being a patient, I think, is not being heard, or feeling absent, or feeling like what you know is less than what others know, mm-hmm. or your white counterparts know. So walking into a patient's room, and because you're Black, they kind of don't think you know what you're doing that day, or they think their care is going to be subpar. Or when you step into rounds with doctors and other interdisciplinary teams, what you have to say is a little different. So it's this sense that you have to step in and hold your head a little bit higher. You have to stand on a more firmer ground. You have to kind of make your presence known. And when you speak, you have to be assertive. And when you speak, you have to be confident, versus someone who's white or not Black, their presence is enough to convince their patients or others that they know what they're doing.
And yeah.
I mean, that amongst many other challenges, but that's one in particular, which is not being seen or valued, or that what you have to say is less than what they have.
How do we overcome that? I mean, I know that's a big question to answer, but that's, what do you do?
You know, one thing, ironically enough, that I have an issue with is being confident. And it's not that I don't know, but I am not an assertive person. I'm not, if you feel like you have a better answer, I'm not one that's going to step over you in order to make myself seen. Mm-hmm. And okay. I think we as Black people have a place, and we can't allow that feeling of others trampling over us to shadow what we bring to the table. And I think that confidence is something that we all need to work on in order to make ourselves more valued, and for people to see that we do have something to bring, and we are equal. Equal.
Okay, so, right. yeah.
You have to work so hard that sometimes you're like surpassing people, and you're still not seen as someone that brings that value. So confidence, stand firm in what you know.
Yeah.
And in anything, do that.
Yeah, for sure. So what are some advantages, do you think?
Because people notice Black girl magic, and they just acknowledge it on the contrary. Like, hello, it's like, no.
But no.
Some advantages is when you're, that camaraderie, when people do recognize you. Mm-hmm. Or if you do open, when people see you and they're like, oh, shoot, she isn't an angry Black woman, or oh, shoot, right. She does know what she's talking about. Unfortunately, at times it takes that convincing, mm-hmm. or for you to have a conversation for them to take their blinders off and see you for who you really are. But there's such a beauty when people see you and they don't look over you or past you. And when your patients realize, like, this nurse has got it. Like, I like who's taking care of me. And I know that she has my best interest at heart, and mm-hmm. that she's not in here giving me subpar care. So right. It's when they see you.
Yeah, I will. No, go ahead. Go ahead. What were you saying?
No. When they see us, like the movie. Yeah, when they truly see you.
Yeah, I will also say, just for me, just as being a patient, to see, not that I have anything against my, you know, any other race of being in the medical field, but when I see a Black woman coming in to take care of me, like, that's just like, you see somebody that looks like you, that's just, it's comforting, it's reassuring. It's like, you kind of already have that little connection. So, I mean, even if you're going and you're already concerned about whatever's going on, and so you see someone that looks like you, that's beneficial. So for me, that's an advantage, just to have like you to come in the room and like, oh, you can kind of have a woo-saw moment, like, okay, you know. So that's pretty cool.
And why is that? Why does it have to be?
I don't know.
And history is why it's that way.
Yeah.
And it's always a good day for me when I have a patient that looks like me. Because mm-hmm. that's not always the case either. I love taking care of different cultures and nationalities and sexual orientations and religious beliefs. I love that. I love that melting pot. But there's something about mm-hmm. when you see someone that looks like you and you're like, we can talk the language now. Like right. healthcare just to a different level. Like
yeah. I don't know. That's yeah, it said something, that little component there. So what I know we've talked about this a couple of times. What's one thing in healthcare that you would like to see change? I know there's so many that we could talk about, but what's one important to you?
The provision of mm-hmm. care is what I would like to see change. And I honestly don't know if policy and legislature is the avenue to change that. I think the hearts of healthcare workers have to change. The climate of care needs to change. I would love to see a doctor, a nurse, a respiratory therapist, a speech pathologist come in and see a Black person and treat them the same way if you saw a white person or another person in the bed. Mm-hmm. I would love for Black people to be able to go to the hospital or go to the doctor and know that regardless of my color, I'm still going to be treated equally, that I can trust who's taking care of me. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case right now, but it's a treasure that I wish we would have. And that starts with the rearing of healthcare providers.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, thank you for being a nurse both here and abroad. We appreciate the work yeah. that you do. And I know you have some things brewing, so I'm excited about that for you. Yes. So we're going to go, unless you have, do you have anything else you want to add about healthcare? Any?
No.
Anything? Okay. All right. So we're going to migrate over to talk about your great nonprofit. Yes, you got the shirt on for those who are watching. You have your shirt on. And then of course, before we end, I'm going to ask you to tell us where we can get that from. So put a pin in that. Yes. But walk us through what made you want to start hashtag Free Foundation, the purpose behind it. And we'll go from there.
I wanted to fill in the gaps for Black people and people that were underserved. I wanted an organization that my community could depend on if there was a need that they had, or if there was something that they desired, if there was a goal that they knew that hashtag free would be the key that unlocked the needs. And that's kind of my mantra, is to be the key that unlocks the needs of your community. How can you give them what they need? And that's where hashtag free came from. So everything I do, I'm trying to identify how can I provide for my community and fill in the gaps and elevate us through fellowship, through resources, through education, through empowerment. How can I do that for my community? I just wanted to be a vessel.
Okay. Okay. And why did you want to start in Sumter?
Because Sumter's from. And because Sumter is home. South yeah. Carolina is home. It's where I'm most familiar. And it was the place I decided to start.
Okay. Yeah, I gotcha. And so from hashtag free, I believe is where her Habakkuk, and you can of course correct me if I said that wrong. That's where, but if that's where that stemmed from. And so you want to tell us more about what the purpose of her Habakkuk is. And then of course you can talk about the event you have coming up as well.
Sure. So her Habakkuk stemmed from me loving the unity of women. Mm-hmm. Women are,
we're amazing.
Y'all got it going on. And I realized how much I love the unity, the community, the love that women, especially Black women, share. And I also realized the importance of community when it came to reaching our goals. And when it came to seeing someone that looked like you, or someone that experienced the same things as you, or someone that's going through those same challenges, a lot of us don't reach our goals and our potentials because we don't see a mirror, or we don't see someone that we can gravitate to or connect to that's going through that same thing. Mm-hmm. And so you see it as impossible. A lot of men talk about that. Well, that wasn't something I saw. This is always how I've seen it. So it's men and women. So it's impossible if I haven't been able to see it. And I wanted to take that away. And I wanted women to realize that your goals are possible. What you bring to the table does matter. And so the name, Her Habakkuk, is relating to the essence of a woman with the her. And then Habakkuk, coming from 2 and 2 in the Bible, write the vision, make it plain so that when others see it, they can then run with it. And that's how deep and how rooted I wanted our visions to be, and how I wanted people to feel when they left for Habakkuk. So the panel that I have is because of that. I want you to see people that are in their situations, that are out of their situations, and people that are going into their situations, to be able to see other women and to bond with them in an environment that's loving, in an environment that's uplifting, in an environment that's non-biased, one that allows you to completely be your authentic self and know that we love you for that and we support you for that. And so that's what I wanted for Her Habakkuk. And 3 years later, we're still loving on each other.
Yeah, that's what I wrote down when you were talking. I wrote down safe space. And I think that is so important, to have a safe space where you said, be your authentic self. Being able to hear testimony is so important, because sometimes we think it's just us that's going through something, or we think it's just us who have like a thought or a vision and like, well, maybe it's just me out here. But when you can connect with other people, and then, like I say, other people that look like you, it just makes a difference. And so I think that's so beneficial. And I've been at the past 2 events, and they've just been so inspiring, just to, I mean, cause you know, I got like 1,000 projects all the time. You know, okay. And so, but it's nice to be at those events and see other visionaries talk about their process. And sometimes, yes, it's nice to have all those projects, but what can we hone in and, you know, really make it beneficial for others too? So I've always appreciated that about those events. They've been really good. So you do have an event coming up next week, the 19th. Yes.
19th. Yes. Okay. From today.
Woo. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So next Saturday. So tell us a little bit about it, what you have going on, how people can sign up, and anything else you want to add with that.
Oh my gosh. This one is different.
Yeah.
This Her Habakkuk is going to hit different. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about it. It's a week from today, Saturday, December 19th. And I always choose the date that comes right before Christmas, but also before the new year, so that you can set that tone prior to the new year.
Yeah,
and from 10 to 12 Pacific Standard Time, because we got the West Coast coming in, and then 1 to 3 Eastern Standard Time, because of course, I'm an East Coast Southern girl, 100%. And so it's so, while this pandemic has been such a, I know, there's no word.
It's right.
Been a lot.
Yeah.
One thing I'm really thankful for is that my goal was to stretch for Habakkuk across states. And this year I can do that. And although it's virtually, I'm really excited about being able to connect women from coast to coast. So finding a way to make it interactive and fun was a challenge, but we have a live DJ that's going to come on and give us brunch vibes. We're going to have a mixologist come on, giving mocktail and cocktail versions of a signature Her Habakkuk drink, and that's going to be cool. I'm sending out the recipe this weekend. So we have Mia Miranda coming on, and she's just a powerhouse for women, for equality. Film writer, filmmaker. I'm just an actress. She was actually on set this weekend, and
wow.
It was just a happy time. And I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited for women and what's gonna be a result of this particular Her Habakkuk and how unique it is from the past.
Right. Yeah. Like you said, it's gonna be different, but I think it's gonna be good. It's just. Just the fact, like, you're going to be, one, it's virtual. So I think this is going to be cool to kind of see, you know, everybody do that. And then just having your DJ and just the vibe, I think will be, be kind of cool. We're going to be at home, but we're still connected. So
yeah.
That's, I think that'd be fun. With that, so where can we, I am going to put it on my link, on my podcast link, but where can people go to sign up to register to be a part of it?
There is a link. You can go on my Instagram page, the #FreeFoundation. It's spelled out, including hashtag, and the link is in the bio. You can register there or go onto your podcast and it'll be there. Those are the two main places that it's located, but if it needs to be sent out personally, I'll gladly do that. Anybody, it's free, hashtag free. we have some awesome giveaways. I'm excited about the giveaways. Yes. And I said, and I don't qualify, but there are some really great women doing great things and they're sharing their services. Side note, if anybody, Brittany's book it, Avery is going to be there. So
she will be.
She will be there, Avery Stone. So if you have a service or a business or something that you offer, please email us.
Okay, you kind of broke up a little bit there. No, so what you were saying, if people have a business or anything they want to donate or what? Yeah, that's where we stopped at. So, yeah, so give me the,
So if you have, so what I'm doing this year is compiling a directory, a Her Habaka directory of women who have been a part of Her Habaka and women that are coming in this year. If you have a service or a business, if you're an entrepreneur and you have something that you provide and you want other women to know, free advertisement, hashtag free advertisement. I want to put your name on that directory. I want women to know what you're doing. And if they have a service that they need, they can just reference Her Habaka in that directory. Avery will be there. If you have something that you want to use as a giveaway so that people can experience your product, we have several great giveaways.
Okay. Sounds good. And like I said, I'm gonna put all the information in so that everybody can have that as well. So my last question for your nonprofit, what do you see for hashtag Free Foundation? What do you hope to see? And then for Her Habaka, what do you hope to see for that as well?
Hashtag Free Foundation. I hope to see, not in particular like events that I see right now, but of a reputation. I want people to see the hashtag Free Foundation, particularly our people, to see the hashtag Free Foundation and to know that what we do is genuine and to know that you can count on us to look out for you. And you know that if there's something that you desire, any event that we host, any service we provide, that you know that it'll be quality and it'll be one that definitely has you in mind. And that is something that you want to be a part of. Because we need that dependability. I think as a culture, we've been let down in so many ways. And if I can be someone that my culture can stand firmly on and know that the hashtag Free Foundation got us, if nobody else got us, I know this nonprofit is going to recycle services and put it right back into us. That's absolutely what we're doing. And that's what I want everyone to know that we're doing.
That's good. That's good.
Her Habaka International.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be so? Oh, my gosh. I can see it.
I would just fall apart.
That'd be so cool. It can happen, honey.
It can happen. That's my vision. And that's what I need to write and make it super plain.
Yeah.
International. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. That'd be a whole nother feel.
Like.
Yeah. It's coming. It's coming. You just keep working. It's coming.
Man, oh man. Okay. Next question. That took me somewhere.
Oh gosh. Okay. Let's bring it all back. All right. So for our last segment, which you were the first one I'm trying this little segment on, it's called The Little Things. And like I said before, I like learning the little things about people because I think it just gives you a dynamic of that person. And little things make us who we are. So that's why I titled it that. So I just have three small questions. One, you are in Los Angeles, California, which is cool, but we do miss you over here because you are all the way over there. Yes. But so one, what took you to Cali? And then how is it being in California, I guess, post-pandemic and then now in pandemic?
Okay.
Or is it pre-pandemic? I don't know, whatever the terminology is, you know what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
In, out, over, through.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Layers.
Okay.
What was the question? No, I'm kidding. So I came to Cali because I came to Cali. I always wanted to be on this side. I don't know if it was Tupac or. I don't know, but I don't know if it was a California Dreamin'. I don't know. But I kind of always wanted to be on this side. It felt like everyone over here was just chill and
free,
and they were like, it was a good time. And it is. But as soon as I had an opportunity to get over here, as soon as the job made a way for me to come over here, I did. So I moved to LA in September of 2016. I tested the waters in February for my birthday of that same year. I was at Duke. And then I did my first travel nurse assignment in Charlotte. And then once I did that and got my feet wet in travel nursing, I came straight over to LA.
Yeah.
Mind you, I moved to LA. My account was negative 500. I had
You were done. You were tapped. You were completely tapped. Yeah.
I had no money when I came over. I had negative money when I came over here. But I mean, tying back into her habaka and having a vision of something you want for yourself, that's why I came over here, because I felt like if I moved to California, I would be able to plant seeds. I'd be able to reach my goals. I would have the resources that I needed to be more successful.
Yeah.
And to be able to take those resources back to the South. So I moved over here.
Wow.
I would get what I needed. So
That's so good. I mean, sometimes you gotta not telling anybody to just up and quit their job or to do whatever. But sometimes when you feel that though, when you feel that thing, you got to act on it. Otherwise you're going to regret it. So I completely understand doing that. So what's your favorite thing to do in California?
Drink wine and be merry.
That's everywhere.
Part of it. My favorite thing to do is be outside.
Yeah. Here. Oh, I know the weather's nice.
Yeah, it's just, I love going to the beach. I like just sitting there. There was one time I went to the beach and I just kind of laid there. I must have been in a really awkward position, but I was just soaking up the sun. And I wasn't in bathing suit or anything. Not soaking up in that sense, but just gaining that solar energy. And having that ability to just drive 10, 15 minutes down the street and listen to the waves and there are just so many opportunities to level out here in Cali, via nature, via fun things, being outside. There's just, I love that about being here. And I can drive north and look to the mountains, and I can go south and look to the oceans, and just being able to have that reach is really powerful. So I love that about.
So we're going to move on because I'm getting super jealous. Whatever. Sheesh. Oh, man. Yeah, I can't. I mean, I've only been to San Diego, but when I was there, I was like, oh, this is life. Oh, it's just so pretty.
San Diego.
Yes. So nice. Yeah, we went. I can't remember what we went for. My dad was doing, we went to the Navy base out there. So that was cool.
Huge. That was over there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so nice. So I can't wait to get to LA soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon.
Well, after COVID.
Right. Right. Oh, right. Exactly. So moving on from that, my next, well, I don't know. This is a question. So you are known, if people don't know you, you are a dancer, true and true, whether you are being in your professional mode or you hear a melody, whether it's playing or not, you are that dancer. Right. And I love, and not in a creepy way, but I love to watch you dance because you can see, like, when you just see the joy when you do it, you're just like, okay, I got to groove with you, because you just, you know, you just give that vibe off. So did you ever want to be a professional dancer?
I did. I remember thinking about trying out with the Hornets or being 14. I was pretty close to that, but my car broke down on the day of tryouts. I have a picture of my car on the back of the truck. Yeah, that was tough. And then Juilliard, like Save the Last Dance and Juilliard, like I thought about those things, but ballet wasn't really my thing. No, I liked it. I didn't love it. So those types of dance genres I wasn't really into, but I did. I thought I was going to go to school and major in dance. The dance team is actually what sold me on going to Winthrop.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. Yeah, how did you get on the dance team for Winthrop?
I tried out off of You by Lloyd. I made up my own dance. I made it up in my dorm room. Yeah. And I remember at tryouts, I opened up and I messed up and I was like, can I start over?
Oh gosh.
So I had to start over because it's so different when you're practicing your dance in your dorm room and now you're on a basketball court. And I was like, I need to start over.
Dorm rooms were super small.
So I was like, can I start over? And then they let me on the team.
It worked out.
It did. And I was on the winter dance team the whole time.
Wow. That's cool. Interesting how life, where life takes you, you know, all those experiences.
Yes. It's one thing I really miss. I don't dance as far as classes and other than what I do in my room, as much as I would love to. Dance ministry, I don't do that as much. I live life back in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I wish.
I know I haven't, you know, I was praise dance too and mimed as well. It's been a while. I don't even know if those robes fit anymore. Like, it's been a long time.
Make sure everything's still in place.
Okay. I know. But yeah, that was a, those are great moments. I'll always remember those too, for sure. All right, lady, last question for you, because I know you're a busy woman. Since you are a go-getter, entrepreneur, like I said, jack of all trades, what is some advice that you would give to those who are on the fence about maybe starting that business or starting a nonprofit or just stepping out into what they feel they're called to do? What's some advice that you would give?
This is a phrase that I say, and I have to even remind myself, but it would be, you lack nothing.
That's good.
And that's it. Absolutely nothing. Need to be who you've been called to be. That's the difference. Who you've been called to be, you have everything you need. You just have to open your mouth or open your heart or open your hands. And if it's for you, God will make sure that you have everything you need in order to make that a reality.
That's so
good. So there's nothing that you don't have to do what it is you've been called to do. You lack absolutely nothing.
That's it. That's a drop the mic moment right there. Seriously. Okay. Don't drop that to you. Don't do that. But no, that's, I think just getting that, and that sounds so simple, but that's a really hard concept for people to grasp. But I think that's super powerful though.
So yeah, disclaimer. It's not as easy to do as it is. It's not as easy to do as it is to say.
Right. Right, exactly. Once you step into it, you got to go. You got to push yourself to keep going through it. So as we wrap up, because I always forget to do this, I want to make sure. What, again, tell us your socials of how to follow you, get in contact with you, and then where we can get that hashtag free shirt from, which I definitely need to get mine. So let us know. All right, now... Is this your socials?
Okay. So hashtag Free Foundation.
#FreeFoundation, all spelled out on Instagram. The same thing with Facebook at the #FreeFoundation. On email, it's just #FreeFoundation@gmail.com.
Okay.
The t-shirts, you can DM the website that you can order them from. Our website, www.#FreeFoundation.org.
Okay. That works. And I'll make sure I'll get all that from you so I can put all that in the description and then put that on my Instagram too so we can have that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, that is all that I have. Thank you so much again for taking the time to be with us this morning. Definitely drop some amazing jewels and gems for us to think about. Both in healthcare, as a visionary, and just in life in general. So thank you for coming on Life with Brittany, a Peculiar Podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, everybody. Until next time, y'all have a good one.
Bye, guys.
Bye.